Okay, good morning. Let's begin with a word of prayer, orienting ourselves to where we are and why we're here. So let's begin approaching the throne of grace. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for this assembly. We pray, Father, that all that we do this morning will be glorifying to you, glorifying to your Son and the power of your Spirit. Father, we pray these things now in Christ's name. Amen. All right, Brian, let's begin with song. Well, that hymn about goes through everything. Yeah, we go home now. We covered the whole deal, man. Oh, wow. We can see how some of it works. Oh, well, I hope everyone had a wonderful 1-1-1-1 and yesterday. I thought, boy, it'd be a great day to get married. 1-1-1-1. And I guess the other one will be 11-11-11. It'll be a good day, fun day to get married, and if there is such a thing as that. And now we're in the new year, and we've got to make a decision in regard to renewing our lease here. And I'm going to encourage every one of you to do what Judith and I have started doing, and that is, I want you to look just be looking at some front places and some little, maybe a little shopping center area, little, I forgot what they call them, but strip mall, yeah. Strip mall, okay. We now meet at a strip mall, all right. But, and maybe just see if there's something that I think the market's going to be kind of open bare in that area, or abundant, meaning there's going to be a lot of places like that open. So let's, we're not just tied to this place. We might even find a place that'll have an extra room for our young people. So let's, don't just say this is it and vote on it. So let's see what we can do. Yes, sir. Yeah, I think most of them, though, are there any that have closed down? Well, that'd be more than what we need. But just anything that you think that you can drive up and see what might be available in an area like that, just give it a shot and take a look and be led a prayer to do that. Yes. Yes. Yes, and we looked at a couple of those last time. They were very proud of their little buildings, but they might be hurting for finances now. So we might take another look at them now. Yeah. Yes, sir. I'm sorry. Well, right now, what does we pay for this? So we now pay about $2,300, and so. If we do decide to stay here, I'm going to either, one, just kind of maybe, hey, what about a month by month or much less or something like that. So we'll just see. Maybe even negotiate that room back there, same price. Can we get more for the money? Because he has not rented out what he has, these empty places here. So I know that this in room, he's had people show a great interest in this in room. But we'll just see. And be in prayer. Look for places if you're so led. And I'll be talking about when we're going to meet and for just a meeting on that issue. So just to see it. You got to decide. You know, it's salvation is by grace and all these things are by grace, but we live in the world. So if you want to finance and support, right now, we're under about $8,000 in our kitty. So you got to decide if you want to continue. And I've been very, very thankful that over the last 3 years, we've been able to do it. And it came to my attention that by changing from Tuesday night to Sunday morning, which I still like Tuesday night, because I just like spreading it out more, but if gas goes up, those of you that want to come, you'll be able to come the one time on Sunday morning for the two studies. So that might be if gas does go up to $5 a gallon. And years ago, I bought a little bitty scooter, nothing like yours. Mine doesn't get over 40 miles an hour, so I wouldn't. But oh wow! So I didn't have to. I would not have taken the driving test. I just a written one, and Judith was saying, well, maybe we need to get that out and I'll ride it and you need to get one and we'll go to church on our little scooters if it gets up to $5 or $6 a gallon. You do? You alright, let's talk. Alright, hey, I can replace a front tire. I can replace a front tire. That's a detail. Wait, would you quit running yourself? Alright. Well, we'll look at it. And I have, you can ride in on a horse and buggy. That'd be good. Like the Amish. The Amish do that. You can do that. Just throttle down 75 on your little horse and buggy. Start early. Start Saturday afternoon. maybe the Amish will have the last laugh after all. So But anyway, be in prayer about that, and let's just see what he does in that respect. Okay, let's talk about prayer. And in regard to prayer, please continue to be in prayer for John and Judy Hintz. Be in prayer for John, his physical health and teaching. They both are under flu. They both are getting a little better, but nothing. They've not just made that leaps and bounds, and she's got to start back to school here pretty quickly. So please be in prayer for John and Judy as they handle their flu and try to get through it. I understand that Dan Hill, they made it to Liberia, Monrovia, Liberia, and more than he really came down with something bad. He is down. I mean, he can't even get up. So we need to be in prayer for Dan at this time, and Pat. And they've had a wonderful time. As soon as they got back, at the way their seasons work and all, they had a what we would call a vacation Bible school for the young people. And the first class, they had about 150, the second one 250, and the third over 300. And so John and I were talking. Now let's see, Dan was there the first one, but he wasn't there the last two, so I wonder if there's a correlation. And bless his heart, but anyway, we need to be in prayer for them as they minister there in Monrovia, Liberia, and John and Judy Hintz. And we need to be in prayer here. And also, Cindy Edwards, one of our daily listeners to every service. Her granddaughter, Seda, has some important things going on in her life. Please be in prayer for Seda, S-A-D-A. And yes? No, Sada. Sada? Okay, Sada. And so let's be in prayer for Sada. And I like Sadie better, but okay, we'll go with Sada. And let's see. And we've been in prayer for your health. How are you feeling?
Oh, I'm much better.
Much better. Okay, good. All right. How's Jerry doing?
Better.
Better. Okay, not completely well, though?
Not completely.
All right. So we need to continue to be in prayer for Jerry. Wow. My goodness. Gee whiz. Wow. Who had sinus this morning was talking to me? You, yeah. It came down with you, okay. Brian, what's going on? Flu? Well, tell him we're in prayer for him. My goodness. Wow. Tell him we prayed for him a job. Now we got to pray he gets to it. So, tell him we'll be in prayer. Absolutely. And any other prayer requests in these things we need? Or just be in prayer for our assembly. Be in prayer for where the Lord wants us to meet over the next year or so. And hopefully it'll have something for our young people. That's part of my prayer. Yes. Absolutely. Okay. This is very wise, you see? Okay, here's a contribution. I want to try your chili. Now I got to contribute to you to try your chili. Then I got to contribute to you to try your chili. Now let me see which one I want to vote for. Got to try all three to be able to vote, right? I mean, that makes sense. I mean, you can't just take one and vote. You got to try all three and vote. So got to have a little bit of all three, or a whole lot of all three, much you can get of all three. So thank you very much. Good. Good. All right. So remember that. And let's see. I guess that's all the announcements. The Word of God declares whatsoever man purposes in his soul to give, so let him give not grudgingly nor of necessity. For God loveth the gracious giver. The gracious giver, of course, is one who believes in Jesus Christ as Savior, but also one who knows how to be filled with the Holy Spirit. One of the great problems with the church today is that very few know how to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So this becomes an essential issue in being and living the Christian life, knowing how to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And Paul said, if I give everything that I have to feed the poor so that I myself become poor, but do not have my love, it profiteth nothing. So want to know how to get that love? Love is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Want to know how to get it from the Holy Spirit? Got to know about faith in the Holy Spirit. With these things in mind, let's prepare ourselves for the offertory by prayer. Heavenly Father, it is our custom when we come to this facet of worship to often just think for a moment on the two great spheres of freedom that cross each other for this facet of worship. The political, economic freedom that we still enjoy in this country. The freedom to do with our lives and our resources and our time as we see fit. And Father, we are most grateful for the men and women who provide us with this freedom through the service of this country from its inception to this very hour where many are in harm's way. But Father, we cross this with the great freedom with which we have been set free through the person and work of Jesus Christ on the cross and the subsequent resurrection. For it is in this realm of freedom, the spiritual realm of freedom, that we have eyes to see how to use our political, economic freedom in this seen world. But it's through the unseen, Heavenly Father, that we have eyes to see. So, Father, we are so appreciative for the person and work of Christ to provide us with this freedom, that we can see how to use our time, our money, our church, where we go worship, all these things, Father. Now we pray that you receive these offerings. You will continue to use this humble assembly in the spreading of the gospel to both unbeliever and believer. Father, we pray these things now in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. Okay. The people that live that will have to deal with it. It was. Okay. I didn't plan on this Christmas special lasting 3 Sundays, but it's well worth it. And we did. And in fact, you ought to be amazed if I finished it this morning. I know. But so what we're looking at is, how were they saved in the Old Testament? Just like we are in the New Testament. They were saved by faith in Jesus Christ. But you protest, the name Jesus Christ does not occur in the Old Testament, but He does. So we're looking at the object of faith for salvation as far as the Old Testament is concerned, up until that object is defined by name as Jesus Christ. So let's prepare ourselves for our study. Let's pray. Now, Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this book. This book is just so unique of all the books on earth. There's nothing like it. The consistency from beginning to end. The consistent message all the way through, Father. So, Father, we pray now that your Spirit will open our eyes to the things you'd have us to see in the names and titles of Jesus Christ throughout all history. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, we have studied a seed of the woman, Shiloh, which means rest or peace, place of rest, place of peace, Emmanuel, God with us, the hypostatic union, Holy One, and then we left off with Prince the Messiah. And we saw this in Daniel chapter 9 and Daniel other places. And we saw it in Psalm 2:2, the Messiah. And then Acts 4:25 and 26. The first place that Messiah appears in the Bible is way back even before the Kings. Let's go to 1 Samuel 2. 1 Samuel 2. Verse Samuel 2 is the first place where Messiah occurs in written scripture. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 10. Those who contend with the Lord, now this is God the Father, will be shattered. Against them He, God the Father, will thunder in the heavens. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth, and He, God the Father, will give strength to His, God the Father's, King, and will exalt the horn of His, God the Father's, anointed. Now, the word translated here, anointed, is the word Messiah. It's the Hebrew word Messiah. So the first reference to Jesus Christ by this title is in 1 Samuel 2:10. Then it's in Daniel, David, Isaiah, so many different places. Now let's look at the New Testament for Messiah. We spent time on the Prince, but now we're looking at Messiah. Let's look at John chapter 1, the Gospel of John chapter 1. John chapter 1, verse 41. He found first his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which translated means Christ. Now, the point here is that you want to note is they were looking for the Messiah. They were looking for him. They were anticipating him. And here he is. And it is amazing the enthusiasm of new believers to tell others. But often the enthusiasm seems to grow dim or weak with life. Andrew immediately sought out his brother to tell him about finding the Messiah and identifies him. All right, look at John 4. John 4, verse 25. Just to give you this idea of how he was believed in and known by this way. The woman said to him, woman at the well, "I know that Messiah is coming." She knows that. They have believed this. This has been passed down for 1,000 years, over 1,000 years, to the time of the writing. It is coming. He who is called Christ, when that one comes, he will declare all things to us. So here a lowly Samaritan who knows about the promise of the coming Messiah and is looking for him. Now, Messiah is not a translation. Messiah is a transliteration. A translation is where you have a word in one language and you translate what that word means in another language. Hebrew, English. Hebrew, Greek. Greek, English. A transliteration, that literal, that means letter. So a transletter. So you're translettering it, if you pardon that expression, from one language to another. And that's what they did with Messiah. It's a translettering, a transliteration. The Hebrew word Messiah means the anointed one, the consecrated one, called Christ. Here in our passage, John 4:25, that's Christos. From the verb, see, even that is a transliteration. The word Christos means, by translation, to anoint, the anointed one. I know that Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. Well, if we translate it, I know the anointed one is coming, he who is called the anointed one, or the concentrated one in the Greek language. When that one comes, he will tell us all things, and we've been studying how this is possible in the Gospel of John, chapter 16. All right, we have Seed of the Woman, Shiloh, Emmanuel, Holy One, Prince, the Messiah. Next, the Prophet. Next, Prophet. Now, I want to quickly add, because I'm going to be going through these quickly, there are a lot of other titles that people will go to for names of Jesus in the Old Testament, but I'm using those that are in the Old Testament fulfilled in the New Testament. That's my criterion for the study. By how was he known in the Old Testament? So that's the criteria. Now here we have the prophet. One of the interesting ones, this is, of all the names and titles, unique one, this one's often used in the New Testament. All right, let's look at Deuteronomy 18, please. Deuteronomy 18, verse 15. Deuteronomy 18:15, the Lord your God, God the Father, will raise up in future history for you, for your advantage, a prophet like me, Moses, from among you, Jewish, so he will be Jewish, from your countrymen, Israelite. You shall listen to him. You shall listen to him. Raise up sometime in the future. Send what is known in the Hebrew as the Hifil Stem. And the Hifil Stem is causative. God will cause. I just love the Hebrew language. God is caused to raise him up by declaring that he will do what Satan said could not be done in the 10 questions of Job. The prophet means just that, a prophet, a spokesman for God himself. We will not spend a great deal of time on the whole idea of a prophet. Let's just note the significant points about a prophet. And first you will note he says, like me, Moses is the standard of a true prophet. Let me read for you. You can write down, but just for the sake of time, let me read for you Deuteronomy 34:10. Since then, no prophet has risen in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. So that's the point, how the prophet promised will be like, he will know God face to face. He will be God. He will have been with God. So that's important. You see the importance there? Like Moses, knew God face to face. Jesus Christ knows God face to face. Abraham was the first to be called a prophet of Jesus Christ. He is the seed of Jesus Christ, the seed of Abraham. He's a true prophet, and Abraham was the first to be called a prophet. Moses is much later after Abraham, about 500 years after Abraham. Jesus Christ, sent by God the Father, a true prophet, receives his message from God. Jesus Christ over and over again stresses the fact, I do not speak of my own. I speak that which the Father tells me to speak. The Holy Spirit, same thing is said of the Holy Spirit. He does not speak on his own, but what he hears from the Father. A true prophet is empowered by God the Holy Spirit. True prophet is empowered by God the Holy Spirit. Numbers 11:29. And this is where he received his message, is from the Holy Spirit. Now, with this in mind, I'd like you to look at Deuteronomy 18 with me. Deuteronomy 18, and we're going to look at verse 15 again. So if you maybe not want to turn there, but the point that I want to point out, he will raise up in the future for you your advantage a prophet like me, Moses, among you, Jewish, from among your kind of Israelite. You listen to him. But we know from Isaiah 28, they did not listen. They did not listen to him. Now, the first one has a direct application of the Old Testament in recognizing this coming one as Jesus Christ, Acts chapter 3. So, if you look at Acts chapter 3 with me. Acts chapter 3, verse 22. Moses said, the Lord God, God the Father, shall raise up for you, for your advantage, a prophet like me from among your brethren, fellow Jew. To him you shall give heed. That means listen. In everything he says to you. And it shall be that every soul that does not heed that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people. How do you heed him? First, you listen, and then you believe what he says. If you do not listen, do not believe, you will not share his life. Look at Acts chapter 7. Look at Acts chapter 7. Now, I'll just share with you something personal. I'm having a lot of fun deciding what to do with the 9:30 service, 9:30 study. And I plan on just going right to Colossians. But in the past 2 weeks, the Holy Spirit's been playing with my head. And we might take a quick journey through Acts. Because when I was in seminary, I said, now when I get a church, first thing I'm going to teach is the book of Acts. And I didn't do that. So 35 years later, I'm going to get the flow. And we'll not spend much time at all, but get where are the various... See the abuse that I had to take? Now, but I want you to see where all of these people, Paul, Peter, all these people fit into the whole flow, where the books of the New Testament were written, what was going on in their lives at this time. And Dr. Pentecost well pointed out, you don't really study Acts for doctrine. It's a history book. So we don't have to spend a great deal of time there. And I'm afraid to do this, but okay, Romeo, what? Huh? Well, we'll finish John. That's been my prayer to God, that I'll finish John and Romans. So, but anyway, now let's look at Acts chapter 7. And we want to read verses 37 through 40. I knew I'd get no sympathy out of this group. All right, I teach spiritual love, but boy. All right, 37. Verse 37, this is the Moses who said who said to the sons of Israel, God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren. This is the one who was in the congregation in the wilderness together with the angel who was speaking to him on Mount Sinai, who was with our fathers, and he received living oracles to pass on to you. Verse 39. Our fathers were unwilling to obedient to him, but repudiated him, and in their hearts turned back to Egypt, saying to Aaron, make for us gods who will go before us, for walking by sight. For this Moses, who led us out from the land of Egypt, we do not know what happened to him. And so they walked by sight rather than by faith. Look at the Gospel of John chapter 1. The Gospel of John chapter 1. Speaking of John, chapter 1 verse 21. John 1:21, and they ask him, John the Baptist, what then? Are you Elijah? And he said, I am not. Are you the prophet? See, they're looking for the prophet. And he answered, no. They're looking forward to the believing and coming of the prophet. Verse 25, and they ask him and said to him, why then are you baptizing if you are not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet? In case you're wondering why Elijah, he was to come, return, and he returned. We studied that in Revelation 11. All right, so we have Seed of the Woman, Shiloh, Emmanuel, Holy One, Prophet, Prince, Messiah. Next, the Son of Man. The Son of Man. The most referred to title of Jesus Christ in the New Testament. It first appears in my favorite book of the Old Testament, the first book given to us, Job. Please look at Job 25. I just think this is just one of the most remarkable verses in the Bible. Job 25. Job 25, verse 6. How much less that maggot, the Son of Man, that worm. And I love it because God, remember Satan said those words? And oh yeah, you remember that worm that you made fun of? He's going to be the Savior of the world. That maggot is going to be the Savior of the world. That Son of Man, born of woman, is going to be the Son of the Savior of all mankind. All right, with that in mind, let's look at Daniel 7. Daniel 7. Daniel 7, verse 13. I kept looking in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, one like a Son of Man was coming. He came up to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. And to him was given dominion by this Ancient of Days, that's God the Father, given to the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, dominion, glory, and a kingdom, that all the peoples, nations, Gentiles, and men of every language might serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which will not pass away, and his kingdom is one which will not be destroyed. So here he is known as the Son of Man, and this is just given all through the New Testament. Next, he is known as the Son of God. The Son of God. Look at Psalm chapter 2. Psalm 2. See, Jesus Christ is all through the Old Testament. Want to know how the Holy Spirit works? I'll share this with you. At Southwood Bible Church in Tulsa, where Dan Hill left, they had some men come in to teach. Maybe look at them as candidates. And one man came in and he said, just blatantly, Jesus Christ does not appear in the Old Testament. And they just went, well, that did it for him. They had another man my pray will get it. He's just a super guy, and hope to get him to camp if he gets it. He got up and he did not know. He did not know that was said. And so Eric Bush got up and he just said, now you got to realize he's Jewish. He's a Jewish believer. And he said, a part of what we're going to do is we're going to look at how Jesus Christ is all through the Bible, all through the Old Testament. He did not know a thing about what the other one had said. And I just thought that was sort of interesting how all of that played together. Psalm 2, verse 7, I will surely tell of the decree of the Lord. He said to me, thou art my son. Today I have begotten thee. And then this is dealt with in John 3:16-17. Jesus Christ is the Son of God given to the world. Next, the King of Israel. The King of Israel. For the sake of time, let me read for you, but you can write it down. Zechariah. Zechariah 9:9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout in triumph, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and endowed with salvation, humble and mounted on a donkey, even on the colt of a foal of a donkey. And this goes through the whole study of the entrance of Jerusalem into Jerusalem. On the entrance where they threw out the palms and all. Next, from the tribe of Judah. From the tribe of Judah. So he is going to be one. They believed that it would come from the tribe of Judah. Genesis 49:10. Let me read it to you. Genesis 49:10. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until Shiloh comes, and to him shall be the obedience of the people. They will believe in him. From his feet will be the offspring of Judah. That is the coming of Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews 7 verse 14. For it is evident that our Lord was descended from Judah, a tribe with reference to which Moses spoke nothing concerning priest. See, he's the king priest. So this is very interesting. Moses didn't say he would talk about being a priest in the tribe of Judah, but we know he's from the tribe of Judah. So he's both of those. Next, born of a virgin. Isaiah 7:14. Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son. She shall call his name Emmanuel. And of course you know the story, Matthew chapter 1, 18 through 22. Born of a virgin called Emmanuel. Down to little things. There were, look, yes. Isaiah 7:14. And that is seen in Matthew chapter 1, 18 through 22. Thank you. Down to the little detail. Looking for one who will be rejected by his own. Rejected by his own. Isaiah 53:3. Let me read it to you, please. He was despised and forsaken of men. Despised, forsaken of men. A man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. Now, this is why they rejected Jesus Christ, because they didn't know we're just looking for this king who's going to come in and deliver us from Rome. And we're looking for the one the Bible prophesied. Acquainted with grief, like one from whom men hid their face. He was despised, and we did not esteem him as bearing all of that in our benefit. Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 11. Rejected by his own. Next, Redeemer. Redeemer. Isaiah 59:20. Let me read that to you. Isaiah 59:20. And the Redeemer will come to Zion, and to those who turn from transgression in Jacob, declares the Lord. And throughout the New Testament, he is known as the Redeemer. Passage that I like. Resist the temptation for the sake of time of having you turn there, but I'll read to you Job 19, first book written, approximately 2000 B.C. Job 19:25, "And as for me, I know that my Redeemer lives, and at last he will take his stand on earth." So he is known as the Redeemer, and they were looking for the Redeemer. One of the oldest references to the promised Messiah is as the Redeemer. Psalm chapter 19, verse 14. "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my rock and my Redeemer." Redeemer was always anticipated by both Gentiles and the Jews. Let's look together at John, the Gospel of John, chapter 12. The Gospel of John, chapter 12. Begin reading in verse 12. "On the next day, the large crowd who had come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took the branches of the palm trees and went out to meet him and began to shout, 'Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel.'" Jesus, by the way, they didn't quote about suffering, just about the kingship. "Jesus, finding a young donkey, sat on it, as it is written, 'Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, your king,'" known as their king, "your king is coming, seated on a donkey's coat. These things his disciples did not understand at the first," we're studying that in John 16, "did not understand at the first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered by the power of the Holy Spirit who would come and cause them to remember these things, that these things were written of him, and they did, and they had done these things to him." Let me read to you also Titus chapter 2, verse 14. Titus 2:14, "Who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed, and purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous for good works." Good works are works in the power of the Holy Spirit. "He is also known as my servant." My servant. Let me read to you Isaiah 42:1. "Behold, this is God the Father speaking, my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen one, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit, the Holy Spirit, upon him, and he will bring forth justice to the nations, his work on the cross." I suggest you also read Isaiah 49:5-7. Several places for the fulfillment of this. Matthew chapter 12, verse 18. Let me read for you. Matthew 12:18. "Behold, my servant, whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall proclaim justice to the nations," applied in Matthew 12 to the person of Jesus Christ. Let me read Acts chapter 3, verse 13. "The God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus." So he is identified specifically as Jesus. Acts 3:36. For you first, God raised up his servant, raised him from the dead, Jesus Christ, and sent him to bless you by turning every one of you from your wicked ways, the power of the Holy Spirit. I also suggest you read Acts 4:27-29, Philippians 2:7. He is also, they were looking for the shepherd. Psalm 23. apply to Jesus Christ, the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verses 10 through 12, 13. Next, they were looking for the foundation stone. Isaiah 28, 17, Psalm 118, 22 and 23 that we studied over Thanksgiving. And this is seen in reality. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 6, apply to Jesus Christ. They were looking for the fountain. Zechariah 13, verse 1. In that day, a fountain will be opened for the house of David, for the inhabitants of Jerusalem, for sin and purity. Applied and fulfilled to Jesus Christ, Gospel of John 4, 13 and 14. Now we come to Jesus Christ. Well, I think you know Jesus Christ is not his first and last name. I think we know that. Remember, Jesus is not a translation, but a transliteration. It was given to him through the angel to both his mother and his father. So the Greek word Jesus, 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 what does the word mean? It comes from the Hebrew Yeshua, Joshua, which means the Lord delivers or the Lord saves. So Jesus means the Lord delivers or the Lord saves. Christ, transliteration from the Greek Christos. Christos means the anointed one. So this is told to us, and that he was given this name. The one you've been looking for, this child, and you shall call his name Jesus. Even that, though, comes from the Old Testament. We're told where he would be born. He was to be born in Bethlehem. Micah chapter 5, verse 2. Bethlehem means house of bread. Place of food. House of substance. It's fulfilled in Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. We are told he would be one who is beaten. One who is beaten. Micah chapter 5, verse 1. Let me read that for you. Micah 5, 1. Now muster yourselves in troops, daughters of troops. They have laid siege against us with a rod. They will smite the judge of Israel on the cheek. This is fulfilled in Mark chapter 15, verse 19. And they kept beating him, they kept beating his head with a reed, spitting at him, kneeling and bowing before him. And through all of this, it is told, he will remain silent. Isaiah 53, 7. He was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to slaughter, like a sheep that is silent before shears, so he did not open his mouth. Fulfilled in Matthew chapter 27, verses 12 through 14. Betrayed. Psalm 41, 9. Even my close friend in whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted his heel against me. Fulfilled Mark chapter 14, verses 17 through 20. Tried and condemned. Isaiah 53, 8. By oppression and judgment, he was taken away. And as for his generation who considered that he was cut off, out of the land of the living, for the transgression of my people, to whom the stroke was due. He was cut off, judged and taken out. This is fulfilled in Matthew 27, verses 1 and 2. Crucified. Psalm 22, 16. Psalm 22, 16. For dogs have surrounded me. I remembered our study in Revelation 22, where dogs will not be in the eternal Jerusalem. These are unbelievers. For dogs have surrounded me. A band of evildoers has encompassed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. Fulfilled in the Gospel of John 19:17-18. Even details about what would happen while crucified. His garments would be divided. Psalm 22:18. They divided my garments among them, and my clothing they cast lots. Fulfilled in the Gospel of John 19:23-24. Even down to the point of being given vinegar and gall. Psalm 69:21. They also gave me gall for my food, and for my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. Fulfilled in the Gospel of John 19:28-29. One that I like, and I'll show you why. We're almost through. His chosen one. I'd like you to look at Isaiah. Well, let me read Isaiah 42. I want you to look at the New Testament fulfillment for a very important reason. Isaiah 42:1. Behold my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen one, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. By this they knew and believed in his coming. Look at Luke 23, please. It's amazing how sometimes we make fun of what we know and do not realize what we're saying. Luke 23, verse 35. And the people stood by at the crucifixion of Christ, looking on, and even the rulers, the Israeli rulers, scribes, Pharisees, were sneering at him, saying, he saved others, let him save himself, if he is the Christ of God, his chosen one. See, they knew it, but they made fun of it. Didn't see that this is the chosen of God, they made fun of it. Why Jesus? Why do you Christians insist that Jesus is the issue? That Muslims that do not believe in Jesus Christ, Jews that do not believe in this Messiah, this chosen one, this just Jesus, Mormons, Hindus, Buddhists, all these people of the world, what's so special about you? He's the chosen one, people. And by this they would know him. He is the chosen one. Next, he is our sacrifice. Our sacrifice. Isaiah 53:5-6. For the fulfillment of this, you can look at 1 Peter chapter 2:24-25. And the last one. And raised from the dead. Through the Old Testament, they believed that he would come and be raised from the dead. At the present time of his doing, some will believe him because he is raised from the dead. Others, even that, will not persuade them. Psalm 16:10. Psalm 16:10. For thou wilt not abandon my soul to Sheol, neither wilt thou allow thy Holy One to undergo decay. Thou wilt make known to me the path of life. In thy presence is the fullness of joy. In thy right hand they are pleasures to me. Remember, Christ endured the suffering. Hebrews chapter 12. He endured the suffering with the joy that is set before him. That's why he is the author of our faith. Now in closing this morning, you will look at Acts 13. Acts 13. Let's begin reading in Acts 13 at verse 32. And we preach to you the good news, the gospel, of the promise made to the fathers, that God has fulfilled his promise to our children, in that he raised up Jesus. Second Psalm, you are my son, today I have begotten you. As for the fact that he raised, fact, that he raised him up from the dead, no longer to return to decay, he has spoken in this way, I will give you the holy, remember we saw the Holy One, and sure blessings of David. Therefore, he also says to another, in another psalm, you will not allow your Holy One to undergo decay. For David, after he had served the purpose of God in his own generation, fell asleep, that's his body, fell asleep, and was laid, his body was laid among his fathers, his body underwent decay. It's one of the reasons we know that sleep doesn't refer to when we die, we sleep. It's a body that goes to sleep, not the soul. Verse 37, but he whom God raised did not undergo decay. Therefore let it be known to you, brethren, that through him forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you, and through him everyone who believes is freed from all things from which you could not be freed through the law of Moses. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for the birth of Jesus Christ that we celebrate at Christmas, a miracle. We're so thankful, Heavenly Father, for what we will celebrate in a very short time, His crucifixion and resurrection. And Father, how amazing it is that all of these things man has been believing in since the beginning of time. Man has been looking forward to it. And when He came in a miraculous birth and died a tragic death and rose again, so many still reject Him. But what they see as foolishness, we see as our salvation. We see as our confidence in eternity. Father, we thank You for this book. We thank You for the ministry of the Holy Spirit to open our eyes to the truths that are found herein. Father, we pray that as we enter this new year, that You will see fit to use, continue to use this humble assembly, the spreading of the gospel to both believers and unbelievers through the internet, right here, publicly, personally, right here, in our flesh here in this location, publications, speaking, and Heavenly Father, through the witness of everyone who hears these things, telling others of this Jesus, the Christ. Father, we thank You. We look forward to a wonderful year together. We praise You in Christ's name. And Father, we pray for our young people in this coming year. You will use the camp, preparation for the camp, all these things, that we can bring more and more of these young people into Your kingdom and to serve You, Father. Father, we pray these things now in Christ's name. Amen.